Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights from last Sunday's July 4th church service. Of course, you're invited to come to church this morning with us. We have a special guest minister, Reverend Howard Ellis from Holt Summit, an old friend of our congregation. A church starts at 10:30. Of course, it's preceded by Sunday school at 9:30. And you're always most welcome to visit us at 101 North Oak. Our 4th of July church service began with a stirring rendition of America the Beautiful in a piano duet by Lietta and Beth Demp.
Let's pray together. Loving God, you created life in us and all around us. Open us to receive your gifts of your world and word, that we may be not just hearers of the word, but doers also. Amen.
Our special music is a patriotic song, My Country, 'Tis of Thee, by our church men's brotherhood.
Father's God, Land of the Pilgrims' Pride, from the
Becky Snyder reads our scriptures, followed by Pastor Cobb's sermon, Postcards for Life, Sowing and Reaping.
Our first scripture lesson comes from Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 through 10. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to that which you have received, let him be accursed. And I am now seeking the favor of men, or of God. Or am I trying to please men? If I were still pleasing men, I should not be a servant of Christ. Here ends the first lesson. The second lesson is also out of Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love to be the servants of one another. For the whole law is fulfilled one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For those are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law.
Thank you so much, Becky. Thank you, Lietta and Beth, and thank you, Brotherhood. So many blessings, Carla, for leading the lesson today. I had to tell Jerry Cole, I was surprised he was here today. He partied last night, all right? And I didn't expect him to be at church today, but God bless you, he's here. He said he was going to be here no matter what, so that's really a blessing. And I know Alberta's here today with a family from Texas. Thank you all for coming, and I know the Nichols have some family friends here as well, and I pray that we just have a wonderful time together. You want to turn to Galatians chapter 6. We're going to continue our look at the last chapter of each one of Paul's letters, and I encourage you either the week leading up to the sermon or the week after to take advantage of reading that book that we just did the last chapter in. The first three that we've covered, 1st and 2nd Corinthians and Romans, they're longer books, harder to get them all done in a week. But these now, the most you'll see is 6 chapters. We'll have some 4s, we'll have some 5s in there, so it's something that you can easily do in a week. And I encourage you to do that, because you'll see in the last chapter, Paul is summing up what he's been talking about the whole previous book that he's here in Galatians. And, you know, in Corinthians, we saw several things that they were struggling with, divisions and all kinds of things going on that shouldn't be going on. When we get to Galatians, there's basically one issue going on here. And you've seen it if you read through the book of Acts. Paul was hounded by Jewish Christians who thought that you couldn't be a real Christian unless you held on to past Jewish traditions. And they would come and they would follow Paul and they would try to work their way in and try to, you know, take away his message. See, you know, Paul said this, but you really got to add this to the gospel message if you really want to be a Christian. And you see Paul here, usually when he writes his letter in the first chapter, he gives some pleasantries. He kind of gives some encouraging news. He kind of gives positive stuff before he gets into the heart of what he wants to talk about. Man, we get 3 verses in Galatians, and the very next verse is, I'm astonished. You know, and then when you read in chapter 6, he says, see what, you know, large letters I'm writing with. I'm trying to get your attention here. This is serious business. And he says, if you let these things take place in your church and in the congregation that you're in, he said, it's going to divide you. You're going to bite and devour each other. You're going to have hard feelings toward one another. And he says, you know, we've got to make sure that we take the gospel of Christ and we accept it for what it is, the message of grace and mercy to us, and that nothing else needs to be added on to it. And he says it comes through faith. It comes through belief. And so as we start chapter 6 here, he's going to use a theme that we're all going to be very familiar with because we live in a rural farming community. And it's going to be a theme, and you know, I've given you different verses to remember. This section of verses 7 through 10. This is the section that you want to key on when you remember the book of Galatians. Because we have 2 choices. in our lives here. And Paul just breaks it down. Jesus was that way too. He had a narrow path and a wide path. You know, you have lightness and you have darkness. And he's going to say the same thing right here. He just got done with chapter 5. We're going to talk about chapter 5 in just a few minutes. But he's going to talk about what you invest in your life is what you're going to harvest at the end of your life. And so when we read here in Galatians chapter 6, we're going to read the first 8 verses, and then we'll read verses 9 and 10 when we get later on in the sermon. But he says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. We talked about restoration last week. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. We talked again about that last week. Examination and restoration. The same theme here. You know, make sure that there's no blind spots going on in your life spiritually. He said, test it. Shine the light of the Holy Spirit on those areas in your life. Make sure that there's things that don't need attention. He says, then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. We do that all the time, don't we? We compare ourselves to what we own, what we have, who we are, how our children do, all kinds of things. He says, the only thing you need to be worrying about is your faith here. He says, for each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction, the word, should share all good things with their instructor. Now, here's the first part of these key verses. Do not be deceived. Or he says, don't be keeping on being deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. He used the image of planting and harvesting, sowing and reaping. And we have that individually in our lives, and we have that collectively as a church, and that's what we're going to focus on this morning. We're going to look at ourselves individually, what we're investing, what we're planting, what we're sowing, and what we expect to harvest. You guys know that I like to garden, I like to plant, and there's going to be some things that you will never see in my garden. You will never see broccoli in my garden. As in an episode of Seinfeld, that is a vile weed, all right? If you know Seinfeld, you know exactly what I'm talking about there, all right? You will never see cauliflower in my garden. You will never see radishes in my garden. You will not see cabbage. You will not see spinach. You will not see, I like carrots, but I don't plant carrots. You will not see those things in my garden. The things that you see in my garden are obvious. Corn, beans, okra, sweet potatoes, tomatoes, zucchini, and some dill. I think I got some dill in there as well. Well, we planted some beets as well, too. I knew exactly what I wanted to plant this year, and that's what I planted, and that's what I expect to harvest. I think too many times in our life, we kind of don't really pay spiritual attention to our spiritual garden. We kind of just let it go. And I kind of let that happen in my garden this year. We threw out our pumpkin last year in the garden. It was a good-sized pumpkin. And when, you know, early in the year when it was wet and it was cold, nothing was growing, you know the first thing that popped up in my garden? These pumpkins did. And I did not have the heart to get rid of them because I thought, man, they're making my garden look good. Now they've overwhelmed my whole garden, all right? Because I was not expecting to have that in my garden this year, and it's causing me and my wife problems in our garden right now. And I think that happens in our spiritual lives as well a lot of times. We don't pay special attention to the seeds that we're sowing to make sure that we get the harvest that we want at the end. Are we sowing the seed of prayer? Are we sowing the seed of daily Bible? Are we sowing the seed of service? We looked there at the very beginning. He says, carry each other's burdens, and in the same way you will fulfill the law of Christ. The word that he uses there, that seed of service, that seed of concern and care, it's the word that he uses that's an overwhelming, excessive weight, one more than one person can handle. He says that's the burden that when the church steps in and helps carry that weight because one person cannot handle it themselves. He says it's overwhelming. We've got families in our church. We've got a family in our church right now that has an overwhelming weight in their life. And this church is stepping in and helping them carry that weight each and every day. He says that's the seed that we need to plant, that seed of service, that seed of concern. We also need to plant that seed of communion with God, more so than just reading and praying, but wanting God to direct our daily lives. That, you know, knowing Him and Him knowing us. A lot of time we can read His Word and we know about Him,
but we really don't know him and he really doesn't know us. You know, how many times have we turned over our day to him? To start that day and just say, you know, God, I know I've got all these things on my list, and it happens with me. You know, I get to the office, I got in my mind, I've got to get a tidings article done, I've got to get, you know, the sermon prep done, I've got to pick out songs, there's certain people I want to write. I got all this list in my head, and I've not made the first thing the first thing. God, what do you want me to do today? Is there someone you want me to lead, you know, lead into my path today? And occasionally, I remember that, and I bring it before God and say, God, who do you want you to bring into my life today? And that day was Friday. You know, I had a list of people I wanted to go see. I saw one of them. I tried to see another one. They were not home. But about 10 o'clock, a familiar lady came, you know, a lady came walking in my office, had not been in my office before. She came in and she sat down and she just said, hey, I didn't know if you'd be here on a Friday. I said, well, I'm here today. And she says, hey, my husband's not doing very well. Would you come out and see my husband? And I'd never met her husband before. And I said, would you go with me? I said, I'd feel a lot more comfortable if you would go with me. And so we went together. We spent about an hour at their place. We prayed together. We listened to her husband sing. We got to converse with him. That was not on my schedule at all that day. That was a blessing God brought into my life because I asked him, I said, direct my day today. What about planting the seed of communion with him and turning the steering wheel of your life over to him in the morning? Say, I know I've got all these things. I've got to go to work. I've got 8 to 5. I've got all these obligations. But is there somebody at my work? Is there somebody at the ball fields? Is there somebody at the school that's going to cross my path that if I've planted that seed of, you know, obedience to you, that I'm going to turn it over to him and that you're going to bring that person in my path so we can have an influence there? Have we planted that seed? You know, I've struggled until just recently with understanding the difference between perennials and annuals. All right? I've struggled with this. And finally, someone confirmed me out at Salem that perennials are the ones that come back every year. And I like those plants, all right? But annuals confuse me because we have the 31st annual reunion or the 31st annual. So I thought annuals come back every year too, but someone told me that perennials come back every year. I like perennials. If I plant them once, I don't have to plant them again. I think too many times people of the world, the things that we list here, the things that seem attractive are annuals. They look attractive, they look pretty, they bring us a little bit of pleasure for a short period of time, then they die off. And then we're looking for another annual to replace them to give the same type of joy and the same type of pleasure, but it's temporary and it's fleeting. Paul tells us right here to plant the seeds of perennials, the things that are continue to bring fruit. Because what are we going to harvest? What are we looking to harvest out of this life? Paul tells us that back in chapter 5, he says the acts of the flesh are obvious there in verse 19. And in our bulletin, there's a place you can follow along if you want to write down different scriptures and different notes. He says the acts of the flesh are obvious. And then he lists them. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy. Drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you're planting annuals spiritually in your life and expecting them to get you the harvest at the end that's going to give you the reward that God's promised you, you're going to be sorely disappointed. You know, you may be saying, oh, who are you, the one to tell me how to live my life? Well, see, I'm kind of in that profession. I'm a preacher. I've got to preach what God's word here say. The same way if I was a doctor and I went to my doctor looked at me and said, you know, Russ, you've got high cholesterol, you've got high blood pressure, you've got type 2 diabetes. You need to do X, Y, and Z to take care of these things or to manage these things. Who would I be to turn around to him and say, who are you to talk to me about my health? I know my health better than you do. It's the same way here when Paul gives us the words here to tell us. These are the things that if we're actively participating, if we're planting these seeds in our life, he tells us we are going to reap destruction. But then starting verse 22, he tells us the harvest that we should look forward to. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. He says those are the seeds, and that's the harvest we're looking forward to, that we could become more like the Master who we're following. That's the harvest that we're looking for. If we sow the seed of disappointment and anger and bitterness, we're going to get division. We're going to get hurt. We're going to get anger. Paul tells us here that we need to plant that perennial that comes back and gives us that fruit that continues to grow, that we become more like the disciple that God wants us to be. He tells us to love one another and to share with one another and carry each other's burdens. He tells us there in verse 5 that we are to carry our own load. It's a different word than the burden one. He says that we are to be prepared to have everything in our knapsack. It's a soldier going to battle, and he has everything in there that he needs to be successful. And it's the same way with us. When we take our briefcase, when we take our backpack to school, when we take our purse to work, or whatever the case may be, we take with it the things that we're looking forward to be investing in our life so that we can harvest the harvest that God wants us to have. We cannot live one foot in one world and one foot in the other world. We've either got to be all in or all out. That's the thing that Jesus commands from us. That's the things that he asks of us. And that's the individual things that we sow. That's the individual things that we harvest. But then he looks as a church. Look at verses 9 and 10. He says, collectively as a church, what should we be sowing? Verse 9, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. You know, it gets wearisome sometimes when you keep doing the same thing and we don't see the success that we want. Man, I have replanted in my garden 3 or 4 different times, and I've got something that comes in, and when my corn gets about this tall, it comes in and attacks the base, it rips it out of the ground, throws it on the thing, and it just mocks me. That corn laying there that I've planted, and that, you know, I strive so hard to make sure that it's going to produce for me later. I'll find it, maybe it's not dead yet, and I'll pick it back up and I'll stick it back in the ground and put some soil around, you know, some dirt around, trying to save it. He says, so, you know, I'm trying to do those things, you know, that are trying to attack my garden that are there. You know, what seeds are we trying to plant as a church and as a community and as a congregation? We see the early church doing the same thing, that they look for opportunities to plant seeds. We see in Acts chapter 2 that they sold their own possessions to meet the needs of those around us. We see in Acts chapter 4, it says there was no needy persons among them. We see in Acts chapter 6, when there was a problem with distributing food to people, the widows and the orphans in the community, they stepped in and filled that need. What needs do we step in and fill here collectively as a group? He says, don't become weary in doing good. He tells us there it's easy to get discouraged and not see the increase in the harvest that we want to see, but he says at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. That's my encouragement to you here today, that we've got to keep planting seeds. We've got our VeggieTale matinee coming up. We've got our VBS coming up, but we got so many individual opportunities in the community at ball games, at the grocery store, at our workplace, where collectively as a church, we can plant seeds with our neighbor there. You know, ask them, do they have a church home? If they don't have a church home, man, we'd love for you to be here. I'll save you a seat. I'll sit next to you. I'll make sure that you're not alone. I'll make sure to introduce you to people around you, make sure they know who you are. Because the purpose of the church is to plant seeds. What did Jesus say when he looked across at Jerusalem and he looked at all the people? He said that they look like people are harassed and helpless. They look like sheep without a shepherd. And he said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Our goal as a church is to dream big, to plant those seeds, to change a generation of a family that may have never gone to church in their lives, but now change that right then and plant that seed that then changes the generations for futures to come, the people that come to know the Lord so they can spend eternity together enjoying the joys of heaven and the presence of God and his Son himself. That's why we're here as a church. We're here to encourage one another. It says, do good to all, especially to the brothers and sisters. But the last words that Jesus gave his disciples was to go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you, and lo, I'll be with you always. Jesus is in the business of changed lives. And man, it's difficult to change, isn't it? It's easy to get discouraged and get, you know, give up, maybe go to church and someone doesn't smile at you the right way or look at you the right way, or something happens that you don't agree with and you walk away. Paul is saying right here, don't give up. He says, you're going to reap that harvest. I know when I plant my corn in May, I don't expect it to produce to me in June. I know I'm going to have to wait for a while. I'm going to have to fight off enemies and varmints. My beans were about this tall one day, and then they're about this tall because I got a little rabbit running around in my yard right now. I'm real frustrated with some of the things in my garden right now. But I don't give up. And if you've been teaching, if you've been playing, if you've been inviting, if you've been praying for family members and friends, don't give up doing that. Paul tells us in Galatians 3 what the purpose is. In verses 26, he says, so in Christ Jesus, you who are all children of God through faith, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. That's the seeds that we plant. That's the harvest that we're looking forward to. And then how does Paul end this letter? After he's had this big struggle about circumcision, uncircumcision, all the traditions, the Jewish things that they're trying to still put on people, look what Paul says in verses 14 and 15. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. He says, I'm not going to boast in what I have. I'm not going to boast in what I've done. I'm not going to boast in who I know. He says, all I'm going to boast in is that the cross of Jesus gave me the ability to know God himself through the sacrifice and resurrection of Christ. And then look at verse 15. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. Are you tired of doing the same thing over and over with and getting, the same results? Are you tired of being disappointed? Are you tired of feeling like, you can't get anything right and that nobody, loves you or nobody cares about you? Paul writes right here, the thing that matters is the new creation. He says, when you come to Christ, he says, you put on brand new clothes. All those things that were of the past, all those things that weighed you down, all those hurts, those disappointments, those failures, they're all gone away and you are brand new. You are the new creation. Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Are you planting annuals? Are you planting perennials? Are you planting short term? Are you thinking long term? Are you looking at the things of the world and getting that pleasure short term wise? Are you thinking long term? And think about the eternal life and the eternal glory that only comes through God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Are you keeping in step with the Holy Spirit? Is our church focused on making the most of every opportunity? We've got different events coming up. We were at the parade yesterday. We've got VBS coming up. Are we praying for those opportunities to have the opportunity to share with a new child or a new family the love that only comes through the gospel message? Do we look at our community, people that are harassed and helpless that need the love of God in their lives so that they can know the saving grace of Jesus and break free from the chains of sin? Maybe there's things in your spiritual garden that need to be weeded out. Maybe you need to change your garden and start planting the seeds of eternity, the things of eternal life, the things of spiritual importance, and get rid of those annuals that are only temporary. Maybe it's time for you to name Jesus as your Lord and Savior and wash away your sins.